This is Power Aesthetic, Physical Basics. I kicked around whether or not to do one of these physical basics just because there's so much stuff out there on getting started training and so on and so forth. But I want to set the bedrock across the board with the four pillars: physical, mental, spiritual, and temporal. And so we're going to dig into this. We may not get massively deep into some areas, but I will provide some links for other resources and stuff like that that I've already done, specific stuff, macros and things like that. But we're going to touch on enough stuff to give you a good start here if you're just getting started or if you're getting back into it. So without further ado, let's dive in. The most commonly asked question, generally speaking, when someone starts to train physically, when they get into the gym or when they're getting back in the gym, is where to begin. And almost always people start out by choosing a program. Whether or not this is backwards or not is really irrelevant, but most people are going to start out by picking the program that they want to center their training around. Oftentimes there's a lot of stress or thought put into this kind of stuff. People obsess over, you know, which program is going to be right for me, what's the perfect split, and on and on and on. I'll save you the suspense there. There is no such thing as a perfect program. You've got guys who are so worried about what isolateral exercise is going to put the perfect peak on their bicep. It's like, hey, buddy, it's not even a foothill yet. You know, don't even worry about that until you got something going on there. The best thing that you can do at the outset is to pack on, you know, slabs of raw muscle, and then you can worry about, you know, tightening things up here and there down the road. And in order to do that, there's a pretty simple formula to follow. You know, everybody's, wants optimal this and optimal that, but there's nothing that you can do that's better than simply getting started on a sensible program and feeding your muscles with good nutrition and enough rest. The best programs are always going to be the simplest. They're going to be ones that are based on the fundamentals. They're going to be based on compound barbell lifts. If you've got a program that's based around machines, I'd say it's not optimal for getting jacked in it in the shortest amount of time, but that doesn't mean that you can't get there with whatever tools that you have available to you. But as far as the best stuff is the simple fundamentals. It always will be. Overhead press, bench press, row, pull up, squat, deadlift, you know, various squatting movements and hinging movements and stuff. But those ones with the barbell are going to be, those are going to be your staples. Those are going to be your standbys. I believe that you could build a program that was just pull up, row, overhead press, bench, squat, deadlift, and I believe you would get absolutely fucking jacked on it, and that you wouldn't really need any other exercises, because I think those ones right there will put the size on you and will make you aesthetic as long as you train them with intensity and consistency, a good diet, and just focus over a long period of time. You know, and a lot of the times when people start this stuff, they have these goals like, I want to look like this, I want to lift this, I want to do this, you know. But it's worth mentioning at the outset that, And we've been talking about this with Power Aesthetic in general, that it's better to just stay on a certain lifestyle than it is to set a goal and then fall off of it. Too often when we set these short-term or even mid-term goals, we hit them and then, you know, we get this kick off of it and sometimes then set it aside. Our goal should just be to be people who train, who lift weights, who are jacked, who are always in the process of getting stronger and tightening up a better physique and so on and so forth. So as far as programs go, you know, there's always arguments for, you know, more intensity or more volume or this or that. If you want my opinion on it, I think the best programs are ones that center around, you know, like I said, one of the compound or heavy barbell lifts, followed by between 2 to 5 exercises for hypertrophy, you know, accessory movements. But a lot of that is going to depend on the kind of split you're doing, whether that's a push-pull leg, you know, done twice a week, or whether you're doing some kind of Reg Park, you know, full body thing 2 or 3 times a week. I think they will all function as long as they stay focused around the meat and potatoes. You know, you should be doing something at the beginning that's in the heavy range, whether that's a 5x5, you know, 6 sets of 3 or whatever, followed up by stuff that's more in the hypertrophy range, you know, anywhere between 3 and 10 sets of, you know, whatever, 8 to 20 reps, whatever that looks like for you. The best accessory movements, I think, again, are the simplest ones. I like dumbbells for accessory. I like barbells for accessory. I like machine for accessory. I don't think that you need to go nuts here. You know, there's nothing wrong with training stuff, you know, the way you like. If you like to be in the gym for an hour and a half or 2 hours, that's fine. 2 hours for me is too long to be in the gym. I like to be in and out in 45 minutes to an hour and 15 minutes. So my workouts generally tend toward, you know, one heavy movement followed by 2 to 4 exercises in the hypertrophy ranges done at pretty extreme intensity, by which I mean, you know, I'm not in the gym chasing a PR every day. I try to not even really worry about going for PRs more than a couple times a year. And so when I say training intensely, I mean, I log everything. I want to progress every time I'm in there. I want to do, you know, more weight or more reps or whatever, ideally, every time. But some days that's just not feasible. Some days you're more beat up than others. And so what I'm trying to do is have the most intense day that I can in the gym that day. So I try to use as much weight as I can within reason for whatever rep range I'm trying to hit. And I always try to push it as hard as I can. You know, I listen to my body, and if it's giving me warning signs, then I'll take it a little bit easy. But otherwise, if I feel good, I try to give it everything I've got. And like Tom Platz says, I don't want to leave the gym a loser. I don't want to go into the gym and have my focus on, you know, a million different things and be texting and everything like that. I want to go in there and I want to take it seriously. I want to smash the workout. I want to smash the weights. I want to have clean form, but I want to be training with a very ferocious level of intensity. I believe that the mindset matters a great deal when you're in the gym. I don't think you can go in there and kind of like have this polite, chill session and get a lot out of it. I think that you have to be pretty rabid in there. I think you have to have a lot of focus. I think you have to have a lot of intensity. I think you need your mind and your muscle. You've got to be focused on that growth, on getting those reps, on hitting them clean, on hitting them savagely, and on making sure that you're not wasting your time dicking around in there. You know, you have a lot of different exercise options, but I think if you're sticking with the fundamentals and you are performing them with clean form and you're doing it intensely, then your other things to bring to bear is going to be consistency. A lot of people will start a program and hop around. You know, like program sluts, you know, they think that they're always looking for the bigger, better deal on programs, but that's not, you know, despite God bless Rich Piana, you know, gotta keep the muscles confused, right, babe? We don't always need to keep the muscles confused. We just need to keep them progressively overloaded. We need to do more reps. We need to train with more weight, or we need to train with less rest, and challenge ourselves every time that we're in there. Don't worry, the muscles will respond. They don't have to constantly be confused by, you know, one arm pullover, banded Bosu ball, whatever the fuck. They just need to be stimulated. As far as all this stuff goes, you know, we just have to start looking at training as a lifestyle. So go in there. Pick something that's going to work for you. They always talk about, you know, in jiu-jitsu and stuff, what's the best number of days to go. The best number of days to go is the days that you will go. If your lifestyle can fit in 3 days a week and that's as best you can do, then go in there and hammer it on those 3 days instead of trying to set yourself up for failure by taking on more days a week than you know you can effectively do. I think you can do a lot worse when you get started with a push-pull leg. I like to do a training split that's based on, you know, like a vertical push-pull day, a horizontal push-pull day, and a leg day that alternates between hinge focus and squat focus. I think that's a real sweet spot for me. So you can try that out. There's a lot of other great stuff out there. I remember when I was trying to get my bench press up, I used everything from, you know, Smolov Jr. to Wendler to whatever. You know, there's a lot of great programs out there, but nothing is going to beat training intensely, consistently. You got to feed it and you got to recover. So, you know, when it comes down to nutrition, There's plenty of stuff that I've put out on this in the past. You can Google Operation Werewolf No Bullshit Nutrition Guide, and there's some good stuff in there. Another one that is pretty easy to stick with the fundamentals. I generally stick with, if I'm really heavily logging my macros, I'm generally sticking to like a 55-25-20 kind of split. That's like, if I'm taking in 3,000 calories a week, or I'm sorry, 3,000 calories a day, on a 55-25-20 split, that's 55% carb, 25% protein, 20% fat. That'd be like 412 grams of carbs, like 190 grams of protein, like 66 grams of fat. That's a pretty good spot for really for any kind of like good body composition goals. You can tweak those numbers a little bit, like, you know, 45-35-20 or 50-30-20, but generally speaking, you're going to have pretty good luck with that, and that's because it's been proven. There are a lot of people these days who want to go really extreme with everything when it comes to the diet, full carnivore, total keto, full paleo, this or that, or whatever the fuck the new diet trend is. But the fact is, the highest performing athletes in the world generally eat some kind of mix of the higher carbohydrate, middle ground protein, lower fat. You know, you'll see some change up there for specific people, or you'll see some fluctuation depending on what the short-term goals are and stuff like that. But you can generally guess that they're going to be somewhere around there, and then they're going to use incremental changes to that general template to see how their body performs on that. And this is where we get into the idea of logging data. Everybody thinks that they have a good idea of what they eat, but I've found that to largely be bullshit. I coached people for a while and stuff like that, and also even myself. If I'm not logging, it's very difficult to know exactly what you're taking in, so you need to log that. Log everything, you know, and you'll be surprised to see the discrepancy between your calorie intake between one day and another, and so on and so forth, until you get to a point where you're a few years into training and you're able to do things a little bit more intuitively. It's really important to log everything. I recommend you log every rep, every workout, so that you can keep yourself pushing toward progressive overload. Log every meal so that you can keep yourself honest there on your macros and your calories. And then you'll have a good idea of, you know, if things aren't working, if I'm not progressing in my weight loss or my weight gain or whatever it is that I want to be doing, you'll know why. Otherwise, you're just pissing in the wind and it's a shot in the dark and it's a wild guess of, am I actually hitting this or do I just think that I am? Nutrition, again, is pretty simple. Keep things simple. Use what's worked for a lot of people, especially like a lot of professionals, you know, for a long period of time. Generally speaking, that carbohydrate, protein, fat split is going to be good for anybody who's doing any kind of bodybuilding. You can experiment with whatever you want. Just make sure that you're logging it so you're not in the dark about what is getting you where you want to be. When it comes to stuff like cardio, you know, we know there's the bro science guys you've heard forever, you know, cardio kills your gains and all the rest. Cardio does not kill your gains. Cardio keeps you from getting too fat while you're massing. It obviously is going to trim you up and be really, really important to use if you are trying to cut weight, cut fat. And also, it's just good for you in general. Everybody should do at least 3 to 4 cardio sessions a week, unless there's some specific reason why you wouldn't do that. You know, 20 to 30 minutes of cardio 3 to 4 times a week is going to be really good for you. It's going to keep your metabolism going. It's going to make sure that you're not putting on too much fat. It's going to keep your lungs in good shape and make sure that you're not just muscle, you know, all show, no go. You know what I mean? It's we should be able to accomplish things with our muscle. Anybody who says cardio is boring, well, cardio is for like fucking and fighting, and those things aren't boring. So cardio shouldn't be seen as something that's boring. However you want to get that, heavy bag, treadmill, weight vest, jiu-jitsu, whatever that is, make sure you're doing some kind of cardio. You know, people always forget too that your muscles, you know, you get jacked in the kitchen and on the couch. You know, the weight room is very important, obviously, because that's where you're tearing things down. But it's important to remember that that's where we're tearing things down. We're building them up with rest and with proper feeding. So, you know, it's very common these days to hear these guys like, no fucking days off, no rest days, blah, blah, blah. Well, that's not really the most effective way to get jacked. The most effective way to get jacked is to give your body the correct amount of rest, not too much, not too little, and to feed it the correct amount of nutrients, macros, and things like that, so that you're getting where you want to go. It's been said a lot of times, there's no such thing as overtraining, just not enough rest and not enough quality food. So your body needs to recover, especially if you're training very hard. So again, you can use your common sense here. This is not incredible rocket science shit. You know, train 3 days on, 1 day off. If you trained really hard 2 days, take a day off. I tend to not plan a lot of rest days. I take them where they happen because I know that they're going to happen in there somewhere. And so I don't really stress it. If I hit, you know, 3 to 5 workouts in a week, 1 week, that's great. Some weeks, maybe I'll only hit 3 of them as far as weight room workouts, you know, but as long as I'm on the mats getting my jiu-jitsu in or whatever, I don't worry about it too much. If the gym was my main focus, you know, I'd have a little bit stricter setup there. And usually speaking, I'll do 2-on-1-off or I'll do 3-on-1-off, just depending on how I feel and how my recovery is. You know, when it comes to supplements and stuff like that, I think it's always best to err on the side of keeping it simple there too. You know, don't waste a bunch of money on powders and stuff that comes in a tub or a bottle. Most of the time, you're going to be better served eating good food, eating clean food, and trying to get your vitamins and stuff like that from what you're eating and drinking. There's definitely a time and a place for stuff like shakes and protein supplements. Just make sure you're using something high quality or you're throwing your money in the toilet. And with most stuff, it's probably not giving you enough of an edge to really justify the expenditure, unless you like the placebo effect, in which case, God bless you, more power to you, go ahead. But yeah, I don't really use any supplements. I very rarely even take a protein or a creatine supplement. You know, I do take some other herbal stuff. You know, I take hawthorn berry for my blood pressure, and I take a variety of other stuff. That's more like herbal stuff rather than overall performance. I don't take a pre-workout. You know, I keep things pretty simple and pretty clean on that level. When it comes to SARMs, pro-hormones, anabolics, everybody knows where I stand on this. I'm very about the idea of individual responsibility when it comes to this kind of stuff. There is no such thing as a safe, completely risk-free anabolic, SARM, pro-hormone, or any of that stuff. So you need to use your judgment and decide whether the risk-reward ratio is good for you or not. I think SARMs and pro-hormones and stuff like that, a lot of the precursor stuff, I usually just tell people, you may as well just go all the way. It's probably going to be cheaper and it's probably going to be of a greater effect. I also say that if you are a younger guy, you know, whether you're in your early 30s or you're in your 20s, man, do your fucking homework, get your blood run, and make sure that you're not running this stuff for no reason. Again, to each their own, but a lot of guys jump on this kind of stuff when a good diet and a consistent training routine over a long period of time would have gotten them where they wanted to be. I also think that you owe it to yourself to prove that you have the discipline and consistency to be in the gym, to follow a good nutrition program, to be able to train intensely, consistently before you jump on any of this other stuff because you want, you know, an easy button. Anabolics, in a way, you know, a lot of guys who are on anabolics will be like, oh, it's not an easy button. Well, in a lot of ways, yeah, it is an easy button. It doesn't remove the requirement of hard work and good nutrition. I've seen a ton of guys who were on a staggering amount of anabolics who looked like fucking garbage and whose numbers were very unimpressive because they were not disciplined in these other areas. But if you are disciplined in these other areas and you are on anabolics, yeah, it's going to make things easier for you. You're going to recover faster. You're going to put on strength quicker. You're going to put on size faster because your protein synthesis is going to be up. There's a reason people do steroids. You know, if it didn't make things easier or faster, people wouldn't do them. But that does not mean that you don't have to put in the work. I've been on TRT now for a couple of years, and it does allow you to It does allow you to cheat a little bit more. You know, you can get away with a little bit more stuff that you couldn't have gotten away with without it. But ultimately, if I eat a shitty diet and I don't train consistently, I will get fat, look like shit, you know, and get weak and all the rest of this kind of stuff. So it's not the be all and end all. You have to maintain discipline. And I think that there's no reason to be on it if there's no reason to be on it. If you've got high natural numbers, if my numbers had been where I wanted them to be, I never would have got on the stuff until I felt like I needed to be on it. But, you know, that's no judgment on guys who decide that that's the direction that they want to go. I do think that there's something a bit, a bit bizarre about guys who just train in the gym as a hobby, jamming, you know, hundreds and hundreds of milligrams of stuff into their system for a hobby. That's not any direction that I would recommend anyone go. And I wouldn't recommend getting on any of the really heavy or harsh stuff unless you're competitive, unless you're a professional and you've really weighed that out and made the decision for yourself. For me, TRT has been enough to get me where I wanted to be. And it was a great decision for me. Guys ask me all the time, you know, if you had to make the decision over again, I would absolutely make the decision to be on TRT. It's been a solid decision for me. And, you know, don't think I've never thought about what happens if you couldn't get it or what happens if you get locked up. There's a lot of different risks that you take on when you get on any kind of stuff like this. And I've thought about them and I'll burn those bridges when I cross them. To recap, you know, for just your basics, find a basic training program that focuses on the compound lifts with a few hypertrophy accessory movements thrown on with it. Keep things simple. Train with intensity. Train consistently. Don't get too caught up in arguments like, you know, what's better, volume or this, or you know, what's the perfect program or what are the perfect exercises. Just train something. Train it consistently. Log your data. Make sure you're on a good nutrition program, something simple, something sensible. Don't make extreme changes in your diet. Change things incrementally. Make sure you're recovering enough. Make sure your body's getting enough rest. Stay away from too much stuff in a tub. And make sure you understand the risk reward before you dive headlong into any kind of anabolics. That's the basics, guys. We'll dive into some more intermediate and advanced stuff in later podcasts. But I hope you guys enjoyed this one. And if there's anything specifically that you'd like to hear, please let me know. And as always, if you appreciate the podcast, think about hitting that support button and coming on as a monthly subscriber so we can keep this thing ad-free and keep solid content coming your guys' way. Thanks a lot. Have a good day and train hard.